sometimes, you know, I've had the opportunity over the years to interview some unbelievably talented, fun, great people. And then you have the people who are that, and they have played a big role in your life and career. And sometimes it comes together, and it's a perfect storm. And that's the case with our next guest, Michael Miner. Sports West, anybody remember that? The producer who helped me figure out what in the world I was doing for 8 years doing BYU football and basketball play-by-play. Michael Miner was an ESPN guy, Comcast, now, of course, senior coordinating producer at BYU TV. And it's fun to watch your career development. And again, a public thank you for putting up with me for 8 years. Michael, welcome.
Thanks, Tom. It's great to be in your ear again.
Yeah, it is. And this time's a little better than what was that? What was that, Tom? What are you saying?
We had a few of those moments, but I would like to remember the great times we had, and you know we had a good run.
It was great, and I can't imagine anybody having a more smooth development when taking somebody who really had no idea what I was doing, and you guys helped me to at some point feel like maybe I can do this, and it was a blast, and we did a lot of fun games, and I think my first basketball game, the backboard broke. And so Dave McCann and I were filling in New Mexico for about an hour. I remember that.
Oh, yeah. The old one-hour fill in the pit. That was that was a good time.
Yeah. I'd say, are we done now? Can we do it? No, keep talking. Okay. So anyway, enough about all that. But again, just a public thank you for all that. And congratulations on all that you have accomplished. And now, right in the crosshairs of really some nationally important stuff as senior coordinating producer at BYU TV. You guys are in 60 million homes. Perspective, the SEC's in 70 million. The Pac-12 is in 12 million. You guys, I read an interview, 135 live sporting events last year. And, I mean, you guys are on the cutting edge of all things. I know Notre Dame has come and visited your brand new facility, and they like the things you're doing. So, first of all, how does it feel to be in this this situation with BYU TV, with so much of around you and an incredible future for all that you're doing?
Well, thanks, Tom. It's amazing to be here. There's nothing like this that I've seen anywhere in the country as far as a university owned and operated broadcasting facility like this, and it's really what brought me back here from ESPN. I didn't really intend to come back to Utah at least this soon, and happenstance was that I came out here and was taking care of some family issues and saw this magnificent facility and saw the potential of it, and one thing led to another, and I was fortunate enough to get offered a full-time position overseeing the sports content development here, and it's been a great ride, and it's just such a unique, magnificent vision that BYU has, and you bring up the parallel with Notre Dame. I think BYU and Notre Dame, quite frankly, are the only two schools that could do this independently, have a network that's dedicated to its fan base and its constituency. And that's, I think, the exciting thing about what BYU TV is.
Yeah, and I noticed as reading about that, I never knew the Longhorn Network was owned by ESPN. I mean, their fingers are everywhere. That's crazy. I know you had a hand in that whole process, and another day, another time, we can get into that. We may touch on it today. But I want to know how many eyes you guys have on the meetings next week in Dallas, Big 12 athletic directors and presidents, because you have a huge if-then. If they vote to expand, then you guys are going to get really busy and hope that leads to inclusion. We'll see about both of those.
Yeah, we're watching it very, very carefully. I don't know that we as BYU TV are watching it as carefully as probably Tom Homo and
right.
The BYU administration are. But
sure.
Are we a component in that? Probably. I mean, let's be honest. At the end of the day, college sports is business, and it's money attached to that, and everything that the Big 12 is talking about right now, and we use code words like inclusion and access,
yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's all about money.
Yep.
And it's a revenue that can be generated by making sure you're in the proper position to have your fair share of the pie, so to speak. So that's what we're watching. Can we be a component in that? Sure, if BYU gets invited, and that's the key thing, you have to have the invitation before you can be included in anything, then we're going to have some decisions to make, and we'll roll up our sleeves and determine how best we can fit into that new paradigm.
And how much is it, just from a personal and professional point of view, how tied? I know Homo's obviously leading this charge quietly, but how much are you? I mean, there has to be a domino effect, hoping, like everybody else is, that there would be an inclusion in the Big 12 if they vote to expand. And I thought they were gonna. Now it looks like maybe they don't, which, I mean, there's so many emotions that ride through this. And, you're a professional, but you're also a fan, and you get that it's better if they expand. And then you guys are in the conversation big time.
Yeah, but I think that's what you have to do, is separate the fan side right. of this from the business side of it, and that's what I was kind of alluding to.
Yeah.
The business side is BYU, as an independent, is probably in the best position it can be under the circumstances.
Right.
And, that did occur when I was out in Bristol. And I, fully supported that, being a formerly associated with the university. I did think it was important for BYU to take a step away from where it was.
Yes.
And part of that was they were associated with an early iteration of a regional sports network.
Yep.
And that model wasn't functioning well for BYU, just for BYU, take it as a separate entity because of its national fan base. There were people that were being excluded, and there were fans that were being excluded from watching the product because of the nature of the regional sports network that it was associated with. And so that's why I think BYU TV and its development was so important in that process, because now it allowed a national fan base to with an appetite for that product to have access to it.
Right. Well, so, I've been playing this game for, everybody in the market has been playing this game for, many weeks now, as it looks like, at least the Big 12 is going to vote on something. So is it possible that, let's take this down the road, let's say they do vote to expand and their BYU is included, is then it become dicey as to how much BYU TV would be a part of that deal? No doubt it would be in some way, because they'd have to control what you guys put up with a little bit of the control of the programming. Talk us through that. I'm butchering my question a little bit, but hopefully you can help me out here.
No, I think I know where you're going, but I don't think it's really a major shift for us, because the major product that you have in any university athletic program is football.
Mm-hmm.
That's the king. And we're already in a situation where we acquiesce to ESPN.
Right.
ESPN is BYU's primary broadcaster.
Right.
So they'll come in and televise virtually every football game that they can get their hands on. Now, currently, by contract, we have one football game a year that we get to televise live. It's usually a lesser-tier team.
Mm-hmm.
But still, there's one that we broadcast, but we recognize fully that the heavy lifting for the primary revenue sports like football are going to be handled by an entity like ESPN. So if we play what if going into inclusion in any type of a P5 conference, and that conference is then associated with some type of a network brand that is created around that, that's not much of a paradigm shift for us, because we're still we're still acquiescing to the parent entity on the major sports. Where we do the heavy lifting is with the Olympic sports, which is what we're already doing. As you mentioned, the 135 live events, all the shoulder programming that we're doing with BYU Sports Nation and other shows that we do that support the live events, and that's what fans really want is access. They want the live event, they want the exposure, and they want it to be on a national stage. They want to be able to see it. But what we're really digging down to is fans being able to have access to, I want to see up close and personal features on the players. I want the players and coaches to come in and do BYU Sports Nation, and so we can get to know them a little bit better. And that's something that ESPN can't really do because of everything that it has on its table.
Yep.
And I would imagine that if we get into a conference situation where there's another conference network overriding what we do, they're not going to be able to do that with the focus that BYU does to the BYU fans.
Clearly. Yeah, we've talked about it over the years, feeding the beast and the, you know, Cougar Nation and their appetite for all things BYU, from the major sports to the Olympic sports. They want, you know, behind the scenes, they want to hear pregame sound, postgame, all that stuff that the bigger networks are going to do the game and they're gone. And then that's where you guys fill in. But rebroadcast is another huge area that would, I imagine, be something you would have to negotiate or see what you could get. And then you're I get it, you would be continuing to do a lot of the Olympic sports, even in another world, which would include inclusion in the Big 12.
Yeah, I think no question. Rebroadcaster is an interesting animal. You know, one of the things I did learn in my travels to Comcast, Sportsnet, and ESPN was there's not a lot of residual value with rebroadcast. Once, you know, there's an old saying that nobody watches the Super Bowl on Monday, and that's really true about live sports events. Now, BYU, because of the appetite that the fans have for its product, will watch a football game again. And that's why we do a complete separate side-by-side broadcast of every BYU home football game. What's the value of that? It's really hard to assess. But we do know, just from direct feedback from the fans, that there are people that are still interested in seeing that rebroadcast of the football game. Once you get below football, just from my perspective and sitting in my chair, I question the value of rebroadcasts of live events, because I think once they're done and everybody knows the final outcome, it's past Mars by then.
Right. Right. But I think another aspect of the rebroadcast with your people doing it is, sure, you can always DVR it and then watch the ESPNs or the Foxes, whoever's doing the game, but your guys, Blaine and Dave and your entire crew, they know the players, they know the pronunciations of some of the players' names that aren't butchered. The storylines aren't just done from a superficial level that you see when these other guys come in. They do their due diligence and they prepare for week to week, but they don't know everything like Dave and Blaine would, just, you know, conversationally. And that is a huge value, I would imagine, in the rebroadcast, that it's your people.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, we're immersed in BYU and the BYU culture, so we can speak that language and do. However, I think the one thing that we really pride ourselves on, and we actually did this back in the old Sports West days, mm-hmm. was to really try to call the game agnostically.
Exactly.
Realizing that the opponents were also watching
this.
And so it became incumbent upon us to be as knowledgeable about, and sometimes even more knowledgeable about the opponents and pronunciation and those type of things as we were about our own home team, so that, you know, the credibility factor is there with both sides.
Exactly. Yeah. So going forward, I guess, from where you sit, the lay of the land in the next few weeks, nothing's going to really change, but what would bring maybe a sea change, or what is the next step for you guys at BYU TV in a growth scenario? Because I'm getting a sense that you know, Big 12 inclusion and all that would be nice and it would be flashy, but it might not change maybe the bottom line nor your day-to-day that much.
I really don't think so. I think there's other factors that, you know, that we're watching even probably more closely than what happens with these meetings and what the Big 12 decides to do. And that's the fact that there is a migration that's happening within broadcasting itself, that, you know, you look at what's happening just with ESPN and, you know, the quote-unquote cord cutting. There's a migration of how people consume television going away from the traditional, what we call linear platform, which is over the air, to digital, which is online streaming. BYU TV again is ahead of that curve. You know, we've been live streaming, you know, since the day I got here. We have some really bright people here that figured that out, and so everything we do is live streamed, and that's again what fans really want, is they want to be able to have access to these broadcasts and shoulder programming on the go, wherever they are, on tablets, on mobile devices. And so even if you come in and you establish, again, a regional sports network or a conference-oriented sports network, you're going to have a component that is dedicated to this change in how people consume media. And I think we can play a role because we've been doing it so well and so prolifically for years now, and helping to develop that.
I guess the next level, as we learned in the early stages of the online, like monetizing that is continues to be curious. I'll use the word, right?
Oh yeah, I would say it's muddled is what it is.
Better word.
Yeah, that's literally the million-dollar question, is no one has been able to really figure out how do we monetize this thing, because the risk that comes if you're, you know, a sponsor or somebody that's investing in this product is, how do I get my return on investment if people can, you know, skip through the commercials? But that's where sports really still has a foothold over traditional, you know, television, episodic television. You know, I certainly don't wait around to watch my favorite sitcom or television show. I DVR it, and then I speed through the commercials. You can't do that with sports.
Right.
You just can't do that. You got to, again, you got to watch it live. There's no shelf life to it. Exactly. So I think that's the, you know, real benefit that sports will always continue to have, is you have to watch it live. And even if it shifts over to a digital platform, you're going to have to watch that live.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unless you want to skip ahead like, you know, 30 seconds and then zip through the commercials, which I do on occasion, but still, you're not getting that live experience.
Right. No, it's man, we could go on. We're up against a break, but it's been great catching up with you, and there's so much on your plate that it's just fast. It's a fascinating time in the industry. And BYU TV is in great hands. I wish you continued success. I look forward to talking to you again soon as you shepherd them through dicey and tremendous opportunities here in the near future. Michael Miner, appreciate your taking a few minutes with us to educate me. I've learned a lot, and I hope that our listeners did as well. Senior coordinating producer, BYU TV, Michael Miner, great stuff, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Let's do it, Tom.
Okay,
I really
thanks,
appreciate
Michael.
It.